what it is. So I still don't
know.
Yo. Yo. What are you, having a party?
No, that's the game on the background, bro. Hold on. Oh, turn it down. This Kyrie's little post-game interview.
Yeah, I'm watching it.
So,
I'm watching it. I'm not listening to it. None. What's up with you? I'm recording already, just so you know.
How do I sound?
You sound fine. You sound fine.
Aw, thanks, buddy. So, Celtics won tonight, and, you know,
say it.
Short. No, no, dude. We're talking about, we're shorthanded, and, you know, we beat a talented, yet, you know, we know that the Wizards have their issues, so that's a, how'd you guys do tonight, shorthanded without Jimmy Butler?
God damn
it. We're down, hold on. Boston was down three of their top five players tonight. Hayward's out, Jalen Brown's out, and Al Horford's out, and they pull out a win. So that's out of my land, you know. Kyrie came up big down the stretch. Well, how about you?
No, I get you're low key trolling me. I get it. I hate you. Listen, man, the Celtics are way deeper than the Sixers to begin with. The Sixers had to start Furkan Korkmaz, but yeah, they lost the game by three.
They gave up
39 points to Spencer Dinwiddie. It was just like atrocious. I couldn't even watch the last 2 months.
I thought Ben Simmons was in the running for like a defensive player of the year. He was supposed to be a great defender at point guard. What happened?
Well, he wasn't on it most of the game. It was JJ Redick and fucking whoever else I could switch on him. But just
why wouldn't he put him on him?
I don't know. I guess they got switched off. To be honest with you, it's all a blur. I can't remember. I just watched the game. I should have better analysis than this. I don't know. Honestly, couldn't tell you, James. I'd have to go back and rewatch it.
Okay. I'm just, you know, I know that you guys have these two great young players. And
rub it in. Troll while you can.
I'm just asking questions, brother.
Just asking. Just. Hey, speaking of trolls, are we going to ever get Spike on the podcast?
Oh, yes. Hey, Spike asking. I know you don't listen to the show, so it's fine. You'll never hear this. But, yeah. No, I'll ask him. I'll shoot him the email. You want to try for so next?
Yeah, let's do it next week. If he's not
busy.
If he's not busy.
Yep, I'll shoot him an email tonight after we're done.
All right, cool. I got to remember to cut this part out. But, yeah.
Why?
I don't know, because, like, you know, this is the inner workings of the podcast. You don't really want this out there for everyone to hear, do you?
Yeah, let them see how the sausage is made.
All right, everybody, you get to see how the sausage is made. James, James, what's happening? This is Dunktales.
I'm snotty dripping. That's Joe Borelli. This is Dunktales, episode
29. Close. You're close.
So what's happening? See, I just did a really fun podcast with the guys from Thunderous Intentions. That was fun. Thanks for having me on, guys. I also did a podcast like a week and a half ago. We didn't record last week, huh?
No, we didn't. Sorry. It's probably my fault and your fault. I don't know.
No, it was my fault.
We just never get it together.
I did one with the Locked On Celtics podcast, Rain and Jays, with my man, what's his name? Jay Corelli?
Your man,
I should have looked that up before I said that. But yeah, but the Locked On, you know, the Locked On guys. They're my guys. So that was cool. How about you?
Nothing. Just chilling, doing the super flight. Did a super flight today with Keith Parrish from Fast Break Breakfast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who you're familiar with. You go on there, right?
Sometimes. Not enough, though. He doesn't invite me on enough.
Well, you are full of hot takes. I don't know.
I'm not that bad, actually. So my bad. I got my guys mixed up. Jay King, he went on that day, though. It's John Corrales. So my man John Corrales had me on, and we talked basketball and Sam Packard. So, yeah, man. Fast Break Breakfast. We need to get him on one day.
Yeah, totally. I'm sure he'd be happy to come on. He's a good dude. You want to talk about some basketball? That's, you know,
absolutely
not about stuff that we've done the last week.
Gotta admit, I looked at your rundown for the first time like half hour ago, just because I'm a dickhead.
Oh, that's all right. I just updated it about 10 minutes ago, so look at it again.
I looked at it again.
Okay. So I misspelled opinion. Do you want to talk about Steph Curry? Let's talk about Steph Curry.
Yeah, let's talk about it. So to the listeners, Steph Curry came out and there's a quote where he basically said he didn't believe in the moon landing. And
he was on a podcast with one of the guys from, I think, one of his teammates or someone. I forget where, but
Was it Chris Haynes?
I don't really. It wasn't Chris Haynes. I don't think it was Chris Haynes. I don't know. He went on a podcast, sure. And he said something about the... God, now I'm going to have to look it up. Anyway, he went on a podcast, said, just quickly dropped that the moon landing was fake. Yeah. And so everybody took it and ran with it. And there has been some major blowback from, like, Rachel Nichols and Wilbon pardon the interruption. They went in on him, and everybody's been going in on him. And I'm totally on board with them going in on him. He came out now and said that, like, well, NASA even tweeted at him. NASA tweeted at him and said, it was not fake. Please come and we'll show you around, you know, the whatever it was, the space station stuff. So he came out recently, I guess, and just said that, like, he was just kidding. He's going to go to Houston to see NASA and take a look around. But, like, I don't know if he was really... I don't know if he retracted the statement because he got so much blowback, or if it's just like, or if he was really just trolling. I don't know. What's your opinion about it?
So yeah, he went on with Nick Friedel, and he says his quote is 1,000% when NASA. He's a 1,000%. Obviously, I was joking when I was talking on the podcast. I was silently protesting how stupid it was that people actually took that quote, made it law as, oh God, he's a fake moon landing truther. Whatever you want to call it, yada, yada, yada. So I was silently protesting that part about it. So basically, he's pulling the Kyrie, where Kyrie basically, when he did the whole...
Flat Earth.
Yeah, it was basically the same thing. Like, their stance is, we're showing that we, as basketball players, can say something like this, and it becomes, like, a big deal. You know, so I don't know, man. My take on it is this. This is my take on it. No, I want to hear your take first, because I read your notes. I want you to say your part.
All right. So, you know, everybody's making this thing out about, like, there's this rampant anti-intellectualism in the NBA with Kyrie and Steph Curry coming out and saying this stuff. And there's been a number of, like, conspiracy theory things. That's whatever. You're entitled to your opinion. You're allowed to discuss the, you know, what is that thing? The with the pyramid and the eyeball on it.
The Illuminati.
Illuminati. Thank you. You're allowed to talk about that shit if you want. Here's the thing. You're allowed to have your opinions. And yes, as an athlete, you're correct. Too much is often made out of what you say. That doesn't give you the right, or I guess it's, you're right, sure, but you should really watch what you say when it comes to this shit, because we live in an age where there's an attack on truth constantly, especially from our own president, who's a fucking moron. Like,
so I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
You know, who's the guy named Guy Fieri, cook guy?
Yeah.
Would you ask him how to build a garage?
No.
Okay. Let's say Ellen, the TV hostess. Yeah. Ellen, what's her last name?
DeGeneres.
What's her last name?
Who might actually leave TV because, I don't know, she's fed up. But go ahead.
Would you ask her how to fix your radiator in your car?
Probably not. I mean, I'd ask her, but I don't know if she'd have the answer.
Why does the words of Steph Curry on astrophysics matter?
But here's why. Because Steph Curry is a role model, and he's looked up to...
No. Charles Barkley said it. I am not a role model.
That's fine. Say what you want. It doesn't matter. You still have a certain amount of power in your position. Steph Curry is like a god to a lot of young kids. And if Steph Curry
is not out doing drugs, he's not out smoking, he's not out cheating on his wife, which, you know, that's a morality thing, so whatever. But he's not out doing stuff out of his marriage. He's not outside punching people.
Mm-hmm.
If you're saying it's dangerous for him to make an off-cuff, silly comment like this, then I don't know what to tell you. I think we start overstressing it and putting too much onus on these players. Same thing with Kyrie, because Kyrie, you know, he walked back what he said, and that's fine after the blowback. I'm glad he did it, because it was a dumb comment to say. But at the same time, like, it's not dangerous. Is it stupid? Yes, but people can be stupid. They're human. They're basketball. Yeah, they're basketball.
That's fine. It's fine. No, I get what you're saying. I respect what your opinion on this, and I respect their right to do and say what the fuck they want. They shouldn't be role models. You should never have a sports star as a role model, but here we are. And the thing is, like, you know the power that comes with your position. I think just use it a little bit better. Like, you have the ability to go out there and do the exact opposite and tell kids
and bring
that,
people
like,
together.
What's that?
And educate and
bring
people together.
Bring people
I get
together.
It.
Yeah. And I just think that, like, if you're not doing that, and even if you're just trolling, I don't know, it really bothers me because, for starters, in this country, our education system is really inferior to a lot of other countries. We've been doing a terrible job of putting money into our education system. And, like, and we have an idiot in charge who lies constantly and thinks it's okay. And, like, we live in a day and age where lies are just the norm, right? So when people start doing this shit, it really, really bothers me. We need to show that things matter. Like, everything, shit you say matters. You have to be held accountable for shit you say. If you can't hold your own fucking president to this, at least hold everyone else responsible for it and, like, make them, like, aware that this shit matters. So whether he was kidding or not, I don't know. I just wish he hadn't said it. And I hope he was kidding, and I'm glad he took it back, but it really bothers me personally. I get really, really upset about this stuff.
Yeah, too many people, like, when you say something like that, they see the initial comment and they never see the retraction, you know? Because you let that thing out of the Pandora's box, it's hard to put it back in. So yeah, totally. I'm with you, man. It's silly, but, like, yeah, I don't think it's dangerous. And I don't know. I think basketball players, for the most part, are smart.
No, that's,
you know,
absolutely. Basketball players. So. Basketball players are smart. I'm not denying that at all. But young kids are impressionable, and I just think it's a slippery slope, man. That's all.
Yeah, I'm not going to hold them to a higher standard than I hold the guy in the barbershop who talks outlandish stuff. So that's just me.
I hold those guys to a higher standard too. Like, nobody should be saying this shit. Like, don't be saying that stuff. It's not true. That's what I'm saying. Like, it comes down to a person. Shit you say really matters. It really matters, especially right now. Everything you say matters. That's where I'm
at. I can't get worked up by Steph Curry being silly.
All right, fair enough.
I just can't.
All right, fair enough. But let's move on then.
Let's move on.
All right, that's good. Did you see the things about the earned jerseys? I didn't even know this was a thing until today.
You know what? I just saw the headline. I didn't read the article, so this you're gonna be driving this one.
All right. Well, we don't have to talk much about it. I just saw that, like, the 14 team or 16 teams that got into the playoffs last year each get their own earned jerseys. It's a new jersey that all the playoff teams get to sport. The Sixers have one that's just a circle of stars and the number. It's fine. It's just another alternate jersey.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about them calling it an earned jersey?
I mean, it's cool because it is what it is—a cash grab. You know, I mean, the NBA is just trying to. That's all it is. I mean, whatever revenue stream the NBA needs to get to keep paying these players and giving us entertainment, I'm all for it. I haven't bought a basketball jersey in years, so I don't give a damn. You know what? While we're talking, I'm gonna look them up, you know, and see if they at least look cool. I guess I saw that the Miami Heat one was like the pink,
neon again.
Yeah. So let's take a look.
Too, while we're talking. Well, here's my thing. Like, I think it's a matter of context, right? But I think it's just a matter of the verbiage they use, the earned jersey. So if you were a playoff team, if you were not a playoff team last year, not that this is what's going to motivate you, but wouldn't you be a little peeved about not having the earned jersey?
They should earn the jersey. I would say
that's true. You think it lights a little fire under anybody's ass to get there this time? Anything?
It's a little added benefit, right? I mean, it's a little more money in the owner's pockets, and I don't know how the oh my God, Steven Adams just bricking free throws right now. I don't know how they spread the money around from jersey sales, but it's a little. I mean, if they're a nice jersey, it's probably not insignificant. I don't know.
Ooh, I like the New Orleans one.
I see the Miami one. Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, they're fine. They're fine. Yeah.
I like them. Yeah. I mean, but how is that earned? Isn't that the same jersey for the Warriors? The Warriors, that same one, right? That the town?
Yeah,
that
same... I think it's the street jersey, right? It's the same thing. Wait, this doesn't make any sense.
This is them.
I guess. And
It's different color scheme. Like the Wolves one, they're it's black with purple. This is white with purple.
Right, but it's still it's still the Prince font.
Yeah, but it's different. So it's all it is, dude. Like the Bucks one is really different. Yeah, whatever.
The Sixers
cool.
looks Cleveland, exactly the same.
Cleveland's like crap. Cleveland's like crap. Thunder just went their orange, I guess.
Yeah,
whatever.
Cleveland's not sniffing the playoffs. What do you call it when somebody earns the jersey and then the next year they're not in the playoffs at all? Do they still get to keep the jersey?
Maybe next year they'll do lottery jerseys and just make them shitty jerseys for the team that's in the lottery.
There you go. Get the lottery.
Absolutely ridiculous, like jerseys that look like trash that they have to wear twice a year.
By the way, I think it was J.E. Skeets maybe from the Starters who tweeted out they're also doing a trash jersey for these 14 teams that didn't make it, and they
damn
showed
it.
A picture of somebody.
Did you say that?
Yeah, I think he put that one out there. It was pretty funny. It was a picture of somebody wearing a trash bag with I forget who. Whose logo on it. It was really funny.
Well, shit. I thought I was original with that one.
and the Spurs, of course, again, are just white and gray camouflage. Like, what is their deal with the camouflage? I don't even get it.
Supporting the troops.
Girl. All right. I don't have anything else about the earned jerseys. I just thought I would bring it up.
I'm looking at them all right now. Are you looking on? I think I'm actually on the NBA website, whatever.
Yeah, me too. All right. Which one's your favorite?
That's what I was going to ask you.
I got to tell you, by the way, the one really good thing about Washington this year is that uniform they were rocking tonight, the district, was fucking hot. That was a really good jersey.
Yeah, it's a good jersey for them to lose in. Yep.
boom.
Probably the Bucks jersey. I like the Bucks. Just, I like what jerseys are really unique and original. Yeah.
I probably like
everyone who hasn't seen it, it's all white. Then it has Bucks and red going like vertical. Uh-huh. Then it has the numbers offset, you know, on the other side, and the Bucks is on the other side. And then there's like a little color patch that's like different shades of green. It's pretty dope, man.
Yeah,
I like that one.
It's a really good one. I like the North. I like the North jerseys, but I actually like the black and gold version better. The one they had this year is the alternate street version. I really like New Orleans.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Miami's good. I'm down with the pink.
To the people listening, the New Orleans one says NOLA on the front. The numbers like under it and offset in white. It's all white with NOLA and white, word by black, and then it has almost like a Denver Nugget-ish kind of.
Yeah.
Is that yellow and orange?
Yeah, it's like blue, orange, and red. It's like a horizon, just like right at the chest. So it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
I'm going to give a quick shout out to the Pacers one too. Again, like the asymmetrical kind of shit. So whatever. That's nice. That's
yeah. Cool. I like the Pacers. It forms an arrow right to someone's junk while they're wearing the fucking thing.
Indiana junk arrow uniform.
Yes, exactly. The junk arrow. Cool.
That's
actually that. Cleveland's not bad either. The blue and the white is kind of
like, I don't like the jagged.
Yeah, it's I feel weird about it. It's good and it's bad. I kind of like what they were trying to do, but it does look like it's somebody just wrapped a couple of cloths around themselves and this is what they ended up with.
I just don't understand how the Warriors one is any different. It looks just like their city jersey.
It's not. I think these are all city jerseys except for just different colors.
That's what I'm saying. Like yeah. I guess, but that's the same color though. They have the bright yellow one. So I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah. All right. Whatever. Anyway, moving on. Moving on. Did you watch the LeBron and Wade final game?
I did not. I was working.
Me neither, and I don't care. But I did see. I did see the interview afterwards.
You know what's funny?
What?
This is gonna be a short segment because I don't really care either. Yeah. Like, I feel that. I mean, of course, they're friends. Yeah. It's really cool. Dwayne Wade is an all-time great. What do you rank Dwayne Wade? What do you think?
All-time? I don't know. I'd have to go back, but he's definitely high for me, man. I loved Dwayne Wade. When I started getting back into the I was never really into the NBA when I was younger. I watched it in the periphery, but when I really started getting into it around 2006, he was one of my favorite players.
So I mean, not top 10, right? Obviously not.
Well, let's see.
He's not top 10. He's not top 10 all-time player.
No. But I thought you were saying top 10 for personal favorites.
I'm talking about ranking. So ranking. Top 20?
You know, it's hard to say off the top of my head, but maybe top 25. But he's definitely up there, man. He was amazing. Flash. He's like, he carried that first team against against Houston, sorry, not Houston, Dallas in the playoffs. He won that thing by himself. Yeah, well, him and the refs won that thing.
No, I'm not gonna. I'm giving him his credit, man. Hey, when they got to call the foul.
Yeah.
So top 20.
Sure. Top 20, top 25, somewhere around there. What do you think?
I was gonna say top 30. I wouldn't have top like 20 a lot, dude. Yeah, 20 high.
We can't. 20 is probably too high. Let's say top 25. How's that?
Yeah, I'll say top 30. That's fine. Same top thing.
Right. He's in there.
I mean, it's just that, you know, again, just like the jerseys is all about money. So they play. ESPN trumped it up. They were writing articles about it, and like,
actually, let me ask you this real quick. How would you rate Iverson? Top what?
Iverson.
Because he's a polarizing figure, and I'm wondering.
50, I guess. I don't know, man. It's hard.
Okay. So you have Wade ahead of Iverson.
Yes.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. Go on.
Yeah. Pretty easily. Because Iverson was iconic, and mm-hmm. I know what he meant to the NBA. But as far as basketball players and actual skill, Dwayne Wade did it on both sides of the ball, and he was just more of a, more of a two-way player. So, it's like
I think a lot of people would argue with you, but
I really feel that they would?
I think so. I think a lot of people have Iverson ranked a little bit higher than that, yeah. But what do I know? I'm not a basketball historian.
I mean, he was great. It's just that Dwayne Wade, I think, let's be real. A lot of what Iverson, he was awesome. He was incredible, great scorer,
yeah.
Relentless. But a lot of what they did with Iverson was the fact that he was the defense was amazing. That Philly defense was incredible.
Yeah.
You know?
In 2001, you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just in general, that's how the team built, right? It was like basically, it was at 3 yards in the cloud of dust offense where Iverson just kind of, you know, he put up his 35, the rest of the team would score, you know, 50, and they'd play great defense.
Yeah, and they'd win somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was definitely a team built on defense and him handling the ball and shooting the ball only, exclusively. They didn't really have much else on that in way of offense. Go on. Anyway, what were we saying? ESPN tried to make a big deal out of it.
So it's when things like that are so packaged and so hyped and promoted, it's not a it's to me it's just, you know, whatever. And then again, the fact that the Lakers are playing so well and the Heat just aren't very good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm surprised the game was as close as it was. I saw at one point Wade was shooting like, I don't know, 6 for 18 or something. So it's whatever. I mean, I don't get hyped up about, you know, like, you know, this is his. He already said he's retiring, so whatever. Right. Just it's cool. I respect him. I respect what he's done. He's a Hall of Famer. He was one of my favorite players when he was healthy, and now he's a role player, you know, who can still every now and then show flashes. But
yeah, he hasn't been really good since like the year after LeBron left, and it was pretty quickly downhill after that.
Yeah, his body just didn't let him do it. And it's again insane that LeBron James is still doing what he's doing. Melo's out of the league. You know, Chris Bosh hasn't played in years. Wade's on his way out, and you know, it's pretty incredible.
It's funny, man. I don't understand how these guys, all these athletes, keep getting older and older, and I'm still the same fucking age. Like, it's just bizarre.
That almost sounds creepy.
Yeah. I don't know. But it feels like time stands still a little bit on this end, because like we're still able to watch the games in the exact same way we were able to watch it. Maybe a bit more intellectually than we used to, but we're still able to watch the games just, you know, as we used to, but the guys get older and they move on. And what's that?
It's almost like watching the TV, like the Simpsons, right? They've been the same age for all these.
Yep.
It's because we like, hey, LeBron kind of looks the same, mm-hmm. you know, Wade looks the same, all that. So like, we don't really like the passage of time doesn't really like, even like Melo this summer, he looked great in the summer, you know?
Yeah,
you know, Hoodie Mello, it looked great. And then the games come and he looks like freaking grandpa out there. So it's crazy, man. Like, people don't understand. Playing in the NBA for 8 years is a long time.
Yeah, and I think just, you know, not only that, that's absolutely true. An 8-year NBA career is not a bad career. But it's also like the average lifespan of a sports star is just so short compared to and the thing that makes it seem like it stands still for us too is that you see these guys, they're constantly overlapping. Holy shit, Nerlens Noel just hit a jump shot, which is more than I can say for Ben Simmons all year. it's just, it, you know, the guys are constantly overlapping. New guys are coming in every year. And if you have a 10-year career, a year after somebody else is having a 10-year career, you know, it's, it just seems like it's, it goes really quickly. So for me, it seems to, it's fine. It's a sort of passage of, you know, of sorts. And like, but there's Luka Doncic now, there's Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, you know, all these guys that we have to look forward to, hopefully having a really long career. So I don't know. I'm not really all worked up about the goodbye farewell tour thing. I don't really care either way. I thought it was very disingenuous when Kobe did it, because that's a guy who made his career on not wanting any attention, not wanting to talk to anybody, and was just a dick to everyone. And then his last year, he's like, oh, good, you know, everybody wish me goodbye. I'm this superstar and you're going to miss me. And I'm a really nice guy. You know, it's just, eh. But Dwayne Wade was never that way. And so I think he deserves all the goodbyes he gets.
Yeah, my thing with Wade is, like, again, if he, you know, he went away from Miami and he came back and he's come off the bench, and it's just like, you know, it's kind of, it's anticlimactic. Yeah. I get it. Obviously, those players who gets like, even like Dirk. Dirk, I love what Dirk was, and it's cool that Dallas loves him so much, but, like, you know, I just don't have that worship of Dirk where people are like, oh, I hope he never retires. I'm like, dude, he's averaging like 8 points a game. Just let him go, yeah. You know?
He can barely move. Just let the man. Like, he's going to be with the organization. There's no doubt. You'll still see him around.
Right. So it's cool. It's cool, though. Yeah. That's just me. I guess, think about this, though. One day we'll be doing this about, like, Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant.
Probably not that far in the future, either. Hopefully. I mean, not hopefully that they retire, but hopefully, you know, we'll be able to do it. Let me ask you. Speaking of things going away, see how I'm transitioning here. Did you hear about Robert Sarver threatening to move the Suns to Vegas or Seattle?
Yeah. The Suns at one time were like a proud quality franchise, and I don't know what happened. I don't know when it happened, but they're an absolute joke now.
Yeah.
I guess I don't know what happened. It happened when Steve Nash left. Yeah, they've been an absolute joke for now for almost a decade, you know, at least 8-9 years. The Nash trade was maybe, what, 2012, 2011?
13, so we're talking
7 years. Something like that, whatever. So 6-7 years now, they've been a joke. And they tried the Dragic and Isaiah Thomas. Yeah, and those two were okay, right? So then, yeah, so dude, this summer, dude, you know, they re-signed Devin Booker. They drafted DeAndre Ayton. You know, they got the kid, Mikal Bridges?
Oh, yeah, Mikal Bridges is going to be good.
He plays a little bit. He looks good. They got Trevor Ariza. I was like, oh, here's the vet. No point guard, but all right, cool. They've got young pieces. You know, they're going to play hard. It's going to be fun. I said something like that. You know, I'm all in on the Suns experience. It'll be fun to watch this young team. And they're just – there's nothing – fun or exciting about this team. They're depressing. It's sad.
Yeah, it's it's really sad. And you know, you spoke about this a lot. If your owner is bad, your team is going to be bad. When we talk about how they've tried to reset the draft lottery to make it more even for the teams in the bottom so they can all have a better shot, or so they can stop tanking. It really was about stopping tanking. It's bullshit, man. If you have a good owner, you don't really need to worry about tanking. Your owner will hire someone who's really competent and really good at their job. And you'll work, you know, they'll be able to work the fringes. They'll be able to make your team better. And if you have a owner that's committed to a vision, which it doesn't seem like Phoenix has any vision at all, you know, you will be able to put a competitive product on the floor at some point. I really believe that. With owners like the Washington Wizards owner and the Bulls owner, Jerry Reinsdorf, and Robert Sarver and Jim Dolan, like, forget it, man. Like, they're never going to be competitive because their ownership sucks. They either do it half-heartedly or they're too meddling and they're not basketball people. I mean, basketball people is like, you know, I use that loosely, but they don't have a basketball. They don't have a background in these sorts of, management type of things. They have backgrounds in, like, you know, wealth. What's the word I'm looking for? Finance
business
and
Yeah, business. So they try to run the basketball team like a business, and they run it. It is a business, but I get it.
But it's not a Fortune 500. Oh, I guess it is a Fortune 500 company. I have no idea. But anyway, it's not. You're not trading stocks. You're managing people, and you're, you know, looking for talent. And so if you don't have an eye for that sort of thing, then you're probably not going to be able to put the best team together. So I totally agree with you. I think if your ownership sucks, your team's going to suck. What do you think about this whole? But the real question is, though, he's talking about because the city doesn't want to give him or his
money for a stadium.
For a new stadium, right? Because it's an old stadium. Dude, this guy has billions of dollars. I really hate when, I mean, he bought the Suns for $401 million, right? And I'm sure it's worth twice that now. I really can't stand it when these billionaire owners go and, you know, like, what's the word? Hijack the city? Like, try to
hold a ransom.
Hold a city ransom so they can get a new stadium. Like, they're putting all this, they're putting it on the taxpayers' back, and they're making them foot the bill for this fucking stadium that they could easily afford. Like, it makes me insane. So the fact that he's threatening this is just like, he's a fucking dirtbag. That's my thought.
Man, yeah. No, you nailed it. It's like, the people in Phoenix deserve better, man. I don't know what this guy's doing. You know, it's, Devin Booker just signed that big contract, so he's locked in. DeAndre Dayton there for the next 5 years. It should be a happy time for Suns fans, and it just seems like there's a cloud over the team, and, you know, they're absorbing 20, 30 point losses, or I don't know. It's just, I don't know. I feel bad for him. So, but what? Here's the question. Like, we saw, I think you agreed that, what's his name? Silver stepped in and did something about the Suns, right? The Suns front office. I mean, Sixers front office, right?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Absolutely. So, the league absolutely stepped in. Yeah.
Does he step in here and somehow, you know, broker something, run interference and get these guys to stop? You know, I don't know.
No, I doubt it because it's not – because this is one of the owners actually, like, it's the owner playing with money and shit. And, like, it's not appearing bad for the league. You know what I mean? The reason they stepped in for the Sixers is because the optics of it were terrible, that they were tanking, that they were making the league look bad. This isn't making the league look bad. This is making Sarver look like an asshole. I don't know. Actually, it does kind of make – you know, if they don't step in, that does make them look bad. Because he shouldn't be able to hold cities hostage like this. I don't know. I kind of doubt he will do it. But, you know, the commissioner is hired by the owners. The reason they stepped in with the Sixers is because the rest of the owners were pissed off about what the Sixers were doing. I really don't think it's in the owner's best interest to go against one of their friends or one of their co-owners when he's trying to leverage for a new stadium. Because they're all going to want to do that at some point. They're all going to be like, "Oh, we need to leverage our power against the city and get a new stadium as well." So why would we call him out? So I don't like if.
Well, I disagree. I think a lot of owners like having good relationships with the cities. You know, they like having good relationships with cities. And like, look what the Wizards are doing. They're not the Wizards. The Golden State Warriors are doing. They're building this giant complex now, mm-hmm. and they're funding it totally. They're funding it themselves and getting, getting sponsors basically. And it's not going to be just for basketball. It's going to be for all kind of events. It's going to be like the Cowboys started this, right, with their giant stadium, and it's used for everything else. And that's how it'll generate income on its own. Right. Once they build it and they got investors. And so, like, it's doable. And I don't get what's happening with Sarver. So
he's just a douche. He should sell the team. He should absolutely sell the team. They should push him.
Yes. And that's what I'm saying. Can they step in and do you think Silver behind closed doors is going to try to push for dude, we got to do something with you. So I don't know.
I doubt it. I mean, I think if Silver had, I mean, like, he gets a lot of credit for how he handled the Donald Sterling thing when he came in, but I think he did it really just the only way you could. He had to do that. But other than that, like, he changed the front office of the Sixers. I don't think he's made so many. I think he gets a lot more credit than he necessarily deserves. Like, he's done some good things, fine, but I don't think he's been like the best he could possibly be. If he was really a really good commissioner and stand-up guy, I think he would do something here, but I don't know. I honestly don't know.
But see, at the same time, like, it also, like, does he have a leg to stand on to do something?
Can he do something here? Right.
Right. This is a, I mean, the owner not doing anything illegal. He's not doing anything. Is is it in the best interest of the league? That's where I guess he could step in and say what you're doing that in the best interest of the league. But I don't know. I don't know.
Well, let me ask you this. You think David Stern. Do you think David Stern wishes he could have gone back and kept the Seattle Supersonics from leaving? If he would have stepped in there and said something and maybe tried to find a compromise between the city and the owner who wanted to move it because the city wouldn't fund a stadium, which
Clay Bennett brought his little ownership group from Oklahoma City. It's a done deal. There was no way they weren't moving. And even though they promised, you know, they verbally promised, hey, we're not going anywhere. That was all bull. It was all bull. And, you know, that was the fear. Seattle people were scared that he was going to move the team, and that's exactly what he did. So,
well, fair enough. I mean, I'm still good for them, though. They didn't pay for a stadium, and they shouldn't have either. So, fuck them. They'll get a team back eventually. Do you want to talk about anything else, or you should we do some? What time? How much time do we have? Let's see. We're at 36 minutes. We got plenty of time.
All right, let's roll. What else we got?
We asked for a bunch of Twitter questions. We didn't get any. We got like two.
Oh, we had a couple.
We had a
couple. All right, well, keep talking.
We still had the one from last week that we promised, or 2 weeks ago that we were promised we were going to get to. So you have to look that one up. Let me ask you about LeBron and the Lakers, right? So it's rumored that LeBron, I don't know if he wants Melo on the Lakers or if he's just saying that Melo should be on a team. What do you think the chances of the Lakers sending Melo for LeBron are?
Very low. He's not good, dude. I think LeBron is he's a businessman. He's not stupid, yeah. Right? He knows he's an analytics minded guy too. He knows. And Melo just doesn't work, man. It just, you know, there's a video now of Melo still working out and stuff. That's great, but yeah, it's just in the modern NBA, man, whatever he gives you on offense, he's going to give back twice on defense. He's a ball stopper. You know, they want to move him down pretty fast in Los Angeles, and Melo's going to just, you know, dribble, 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 and
yeah.
So it's
the days of ISO player pretty much gone, and that's
it's funny you say that because the Rockets run a lot of ISO. They have an elite ISO player.
That's true.
You know, they have two elite ISO players, so they run ISO. It's just Melo's not an elite ISO player. You know, he's just not. He wants to get to the mid range and pull, and that's like, you know, we all know, quote unquote, worst shot in basketball. So,
no, that's fair. That's fair. You're right. I misspoke. Did I misspeak, or was I just incorrect in what I said? There are still a bunch of ISO players in the NBA. I would say Westbrook is probably one of them. But you do see like a trend towards sharing the ball and getting, you know, open looks from three, passing it around. I mean, I think those offenses are obviously more efficient. Well, maybe not. Actually, maybe not, because you have James Harden. That's a pretty inefficient offense. I don't know. I think that Melo, as you said, he's just not capable of doing it anymore. He was never great on defense to begin with, and it doesn't even seem like he can hit a three for the life of him. I don't remember him hitting a three in years. Like, it's been a while. I know he has, but it just seemed like every time he pulled up for three, it just was not going in. So I don't know what he brings you, man. His offensive game, it's one thing if, like, he was an offensive juggernaut, and you could take that and, like, be okay with what he gives back on defense, but it's not the case at all. So, I mean, like James Harden, he's an offensive juggernaut. He gives everything back on defense, but you live with it because it's James Harden. Melo is not even close to there at this point. He doesn't run the floor. Like you're saying, the Lakers want to get up and they want to move up and down the court. They're one of the fastest paced offenses in the league right now. So I don't see where he would fit in. I think maybe LeBron was just trying to do his friend a favor and say, hey, somebody should take a wire on the waiver on this guy, and he was just trying to be a good friend. I don't know who the hell would pick him up.
Yeah, we've discussed that ad nauseum. Like, where is a good fit right now for this version of Carmelo Anthony? And there's a bad team or a mediocre team that wants to put butts in the seats. Say the Hornets.
I was going to say the Hornets.
You know, they're just whatever.
Yeah. They're not bad, but they're not good.
They're not great. Yeah, they're in the middle, and you know, he gives you some scoring pop, play some power forward, maybe. I guess I don't know. Does that excite anybody in the Hornets franchise? Probably not.
How about the Guangdong Tigers? I think he'd probably fit in really well.
And that sucks because he's a legit Hall of Famer, man. And we're watching the guy who the game is just passing by.
Yeah, that is sad. That's actually way more sad to see than Dwayne Wade retiring, to be honest with you. At least Wade's getting to go out on his own terms, and Melo is just out. He's just gone. And, like, that's an unceremonious dumping, right, for a guy who's supposedly a Hall of Famer. That's just – it's over and done like that. I don't know. I think some team probably will take a flyer on him at some point, maybe this year, maybe next year. But to think that a guy who should be in the Hall of Fame – it's got cut by his team and nobody's picking him up. It just kind of blows your mind. Like, what happened?
It's all about hubris, man. This is what happens when a guy doesn't realize, like, he's not facing his own NBA mortality.
Well, you say that, but he did accept a lesser role in Houston. He came off the bench and it seemed like, I mean, it wasn't his fault that they were sucking. They're still kind of sucking. I'm not saying he had nothing to do with it, but he was willing to accept a smaller role, I guess.
Well, he wasn't, though. That's what happened. That kid, Gary Clark, played defense, hit open shots, just play off the ball, low usage. That's what they went to him and said, hey, man, this kid's Gary Clark. He's on a two-way or whatever. We want to, he wants to play a bigger role, and you're going to be in a reduced role.
Yeah.
And that's when Melo, that's when Melo said, he said, if you're not cool with that, we'll let us know. We'll move on to something else. And Melo wasn't cool with that.
That's true. But I mean, yeah, I guess the alternative is he just doesn't play at all, right? He just sits on the bench. I guess to him, that looks even worse than not being in the league.
He wants to play. So he's like, well, I don't want that to happen. So let's find something else to do. So.
Fair. No, you're right. You're right. There's also talk of, there was last week anyway, talk of the Lakers going after John Wall.
I saw that too, man. And it's also a weird state of affairs. Like, John Wall played really well tonight against the Celtics. The other night he only had 1 point, and I was kind of clowning him a little bit, but I guess he's dealing with a heel injury too. It was twofold the other night when he had 1 point. His, I guess, him and his significant other just had a baby.
Oh, and so he was like, to him.
Yeah, yeah. And he was he's been dealing with some heel injury, and like, it was bad that night.
As in he is a heel or? No? All right, go ahead.
I would fine you for that joke if I could. So, yeah, it's, tonight he had a big night tonight, but still something about his game is just imagine him and LeBron James, right? Because what do you want with LeBron? You want shooting, and you want floor spacing and guys who will cut, and that's just not what John Wall does at all.
No,
John Wall is almost like some kind of bizarro nightmare version of Lonzo, where he's fast and he's long as a point guard, and he's a great rebounder when he wants to be, great defender when he wants to be. Can get to the rim at will. Towards the end of the game tonight against the Celtics, he was just ripping in transition. Like, the Celtics would score, and 2 seconds later, John Wall's at the rim scoring. That's mm-hmm. awesome.
Yeah.
But too often, off the ball, he stands around. He's kind of sullen. He wants to shoot these, bad mid-range pull-ups. He's not a shooter. It's, I don't know, man. And then that contract, which is abysmal. He'll be making like $45 million, in a couple years. So.
I don't know. I'm of the mind that they actually could work together. Like, John Wall is still super athletic, and he could still get up and down the court really fast. He would work well in that system if they want to play super fast-paced. And I keep saying that John Wall's best attribute is his passing. He's a really good passer. He's a gifted passer, man.
So what do you do with LeBron?
I don't know. I think the two of them – LeBron would figure it out. I think they can play together. The problem is he can't – Wall – is not a great shooter. So yeah, you knock him for that, but everything else, like, you got John Wall can still really defend when he wants to. He's good on ball defense when he tries. He's a really good passer. And I think, you could work it with John Wall, and at least Wall could find LeBron. It gives him somebody to aim for, and LeBron can hit clutch shots when he needs to. You're suffering a little bit on shooting. You're right. And it depends on what you'd have to give up to get him. Because for sure it would take at least Lonzo Ball and probably
at Kuzma. At least, yeah. You're not going to get him for free. He's on a long contract. To make the money match, you got to give up a lot. Even though I think right now his extension hasn't kicked in, so he's still making. I think he's making like 18.
Yeah, it doesn't kick in until next year, which is crazy. Also, yeah. He has a $20 million trade kicker that he would have to waive in order for the
what?
Yeah, he'd have to waive the trade kicker for the Wizards to trade him. $20 million, man. So it's probably not going to happen until the end of the season, anyways. Unless he would, you know, waive it, but.
Wow.
That's a shit ton of money for anybody to pay to get John Wall.
John Wall has a $20 million trade kicker?
Yep.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know. I mean,
so where's the best place for him?
What's that?
Where's the best place for him?
For John Wall? Oh, man. How about Orlando?
You know what's funny? It's I hate to say this, but I was thinking the exact same thing.
Yeah, think about it, man. You got John Wall, you got Jonathan Isaac, who's like, you could have a really good defensive team. Jonathan Isaac, you could have Aaron Gordon, who's also, the thing is, once again, there's no shooting on that team. So you'd have John Wall and you'd have a bunch of guys who can really defend and can play really fast, but they also can't really shoot the ball. Mo Bamba can stretch the floor a little bit. Jonathan Isaac can stretch the floor a little bit. I mean, you also have to think about what they would be giving up to get him. So I can see if you're giving up John Wall, or if you're getting John Wall, you're probably losing Aaron Gordon. You might be losing, who else? Sorry, the music just kicked on, so took my attention.
I don't know. Maybe Fournier.
I was going to say Fournier, which is your only real shooter.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Terrence Ross. They got Terrence Ross in there bombing away.
Yeah, Terrence Ross is...
No, he's actually been good this year. Yeah, he's been good.
But, oh, they also have Jonathan Simmons.
He's not been good this year.
Yeah, sadly. I don't know, man. I don't know. If I'm Houston, or sorry, if I'm the Wizards, though, I'm trying anything to, like... I just want to sell everybody off and start anew with that team. Actually, there's another thing. They, you know, Ted Leonisis or Leonsis, whatever the fuck his name is, needs to sell the team. They need to get Grunfeld out of there and start over again. It's if you don't have a good owner, you're not going to have a good team. That's my thoughts on that. You want to talk about anything else? Do you want to talk about Chicago real quick?
What do you want to say about Chicago? Oh, Boylan?
Yeah, Jim
Boylan. We could talk about it. It's been a week of turmoil. It's been a couple weeks of turmoil for the NBA because it's just what I love the league, man. It's always something going on because.
Yeah, awesome.
So what's the guy's name they fired?
Fred Hoiberg. They let Fred Hoiberg go. They still owe him, I think, the rest of his salary this year and next year. And Boylan is making like $1 million, something like that. I guess what happened was they let Hoiberg go right before Lauri Markkanen was supposed to come back and right before Chris Dunn was going to come back. So Hoiberg didn't really have the team anyway. Not that he would have done anything. He had 3 years. He didn't really show much. You can't really say any part of that team is like a Fred Hoiberg team, you know? I'm stealing that from the starters.
Yes,
they hit that succinctly. What?
They never put the team, a kind of team that he wanted. He wanted a free-flowing, ball-moving offense, and they never gave him the shooters that he needed, you know? They never – so it's – you can't blame him. Yeah, sure, he might have lost the locker room. You blame him for that part, but they never put the product on the floor that he needed.
Yeah, for sure. But also, he's not blameless. That's the thing. He's, you know, he could have, I don't know, man. I just don't think he was a great coach. But
he's not. Still, you can't say he's blameless when, like, hey, Markkanen was out. Chris Dunn's out. All these guys are out.
Which is why the timing was suspect, why they let him go now. It just seemed like they clearly scapegoated him. I don't feel bad for Hoiberg because he's still getting paid. It does suck that he got scapegoated. That sucks. But again, terrible organization. But now they have Jim Boylan in there, who, like, they had one really good win against, who did they beat? The Rockets?
The Thunder.
The Thunder. Yeah. They beat the Thunder. That was a really good win. And after that, Boylan had benched the guys against the team's worst loss in franchise history. I think they lost by 56 points, something like that, against the Celtics, your Celtics. And he benched the guys in the second half. He benched the starters like a couple minutes into the second half and was like, fuck it, we're just going to have a really hard practice tomorrow. So he had them run these really intense, grueling practices where they're doing suicides and push-ups. And this was on the back of 3 games in 4 nights. And, like, the guys had enough. And they tried to rebel. It didn't really work. But there's all this talk about, like, I don't know, man. He's not a good coach. Nobody coaches like that except for high school coaches. And I don't even think they do it there anymore. It's not good. These are professionals. And, like, you want to talk about creating a toxic workplace environment. That's the epitome of it. What do you think? Is it just indicative?
I think it's toxic. I don't think it's toxic. I think it's just, this is a coach who doesn't, it's okay if you want to instill toughness and an old school work mentality, but you can't come in with the hammer, you know, from the jump.
Okay.
You know, so I respect that what he's trying to do, but you just can't. You got some veterans. You can't just come from the jump and just say this is what we're doing and put the hammer down. I understand he says by conditioning and you know you want to make some accountability, but there's a way to do it because these are professional athletes, like you said, like that's high school that's high school coaching kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But these are professional athletes being paid millions and millions of dollars. Like you can't treat them like that. You know, you got to get the buy-in from your stars first, you know, and try to get them to lead. It's better to lead with the carrot than the stick. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So
you get more flies with honey.
There you go. So the whole old school, you know, chewing on a cigar mentality is not going to fly with today's NBA players. It's just not.
Yeah, and you're right. I shouldn't say toxic. Maybe I'm using the wrong word here. Like, it's not toxic like what the Mavs had in their front office with the sexual harassment and all that stuff. It's more like a really dysfunctional. Yeah, that was a toxic. this is more like just dysfunctional and childish, and like it seems like this is what you get from having bad ownership coming top down. It's, you know, not great, man.
Yeah,
but you're absolutely right. You can't treat guys like this, even if they are young. They're still professionals, and you've chosen these guys to be on your team. You've given them these contracts. I don't know what other way these guys would be able to handle this. Like, yeah, you show up and you go to work and you work your ass off and then you risk injury and because you're exhausted from having 2-hour-long practices while you're also, you know, playing 3 games in 4 nights. I understand he's trying to get more out of them and have them accountable on defense, but it just seems like he's going about it really, really badly. And I don't know, man. Do you think there's any chance that they let him go before the end of the year?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's like if he's already off on such a rocky start with the players and the losses keep piling up, they will because the Bulls just aren't very good. Yeah, absolutely. It's a possibility.
I just don't know where this franchise goes from here, man. It's just in such a mess. Suns. Go ahead.
I've seen a lot of Bulls fans and you know, Starver's the issue in
Phoenix.
Starver's the issue in Phoenix. With them is Jim Paxson. It's Jim Paxson and that front office. It's that's where it starts. He's just built like one of the worst cultures, and it's in shambles. So
yeah, but that's also like that's letting Reinsdorf off the hook. Like he's in charge of this whole fucking thing, and he's not letting Paxson go. He's not. He's saying no. He's done nothing wrong. Everyone should go check out what's his name, O'Donnell, that writes for SB Nation. Ricky O'Donnell. He wrote a really good piece on this about how John Paxson has created this you know, dysfunctional environment. But I really think that while he's right, it's also on the owner. Like the owner has given him every cover to stay there and to do this. And it's just, yeah, it could, like he mentions in the article, they could have been, you know, they could have rebooted after the Jordan years, and they could have been this continuing dynasty like the Celtics or the Lakers. And instead they're this, they've been a joke for how many years? And
I do think there's something to the fact that, you know, you said, what's his, Reinsdorf?
Mm-hmm. Jerry
Reinsdorf. He's been there forever. Like, yeah. It's just like the league has evolved, ownership has evolved.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
just like you can't have an old school kind of coach in today's modern, you can't have an old school owner who's just, you know, who's advising him? You know, and Paxson too. Paxson like an old school GM. It's just not working, you know?
Right.
So
yeah, and I think he also owns other sports teams, and usually when that happens, they're like more interested in another team than they are in the basketball team, and so you just get a half-assed endeavor. Like the same thing happened with the Sixers owner years ago. I can't remember his name, but he owned the Sixers and he owned the Flyers, and before he passed away, like, the Flyers were his baby. He stuck all his money into the Flyers and really didn't care about the Sixers as long as they were moderately competitive. And so they were middling for years and years and years. When he finally sold the team to the new ownership group, it was just like a joyous day. And that's when they started the rebuild. And like, finally, they started taking chances. They swung for the fences with Andrew Bynum. And like, that's all you want to see as a fan. You want to see that your organization cares and they're trying and they will do something outside the box that they need to be competitive. But Reinsdorf's not going to do that. He's notoriously cheap, and he's going to keep Paxson in place for this foreseeable future. So I don't know what they do. I don't know where they go from there. It's like the same thing as Dolan. It's the same thing as Sarver. Although Sarver, yeah, only since 2016. But it's just like bad ownership. You get bad management, and it flows from there.
Top down. Yeah, top down.
It's always top down, man. Do you want to do some Twitter questions? What are we at?
Oh yeah, let's look them up. While we're talking, Russell Westbrook and the Thunder, like, they just blew their chance. They could have tied it up here late against the Pelicans, and Pelicans are up 2-10 minutes left. Randle just missed a 10 seconds left. Randle just missed a free throw. Russell Westbrook is playing like dirt again. I don't think he's having a good game. So
yeah, I've been watching it like while I'm talking. I was just struck by that Johnny Depp commercial. It was so weird. Like, yeah. So David Fernandez, our guy over at the Inside the Cylinder podcast, asks, thoughts on Kyrie's comments on Jaylen Brown? Came across like Kyrie was giving Brown the same treatment that LBJ gave him, and at times made Kyrie visibly upset while in Cleveland. You know more about this than I do, so what's your thought on it?
I thought that he's stepping forward. He's saying the tough things that a leader would say, I think, because nothing he said was false. I mean, everything he said was so positive for Jaylen. Like he said, you know, we know Jaylen's so bright. He'll figure this out. These are the challenges that you take when you're a young player, and there are expectations. Like, I don't see anything wrong with what he said. It comes off as kind of harsh because he did say, like, hey, you know, you're not surrounded by decent players, and you know you're getting minutes now, no matter what. You know, he's like, you're surrounded now by, you know, by players who, you know, are probably better than you, and mm-hmm. you got to figure out how you can help the team. There's nothing he's saying was wrong. You know, saying it publicly is not wrong, and I like the fact that you know Kyrie was brought in because he wanted to have his own team. Well, he's treating it like his own team. LeBron, I don't think he's little brothering Jaylen. I think he's trying to be a leader. And he said it himself. He said, I don't know what I'm doing. He said, there's times, you know, I have to learn everybody and learn how to approach these guys and how to talk to these guys and get the best out of these players. That's my job. So I respect that. I respect that, Adam. And Jaylen's responded. He's been really good since he came back up until in fact, he's been good since he came back, you know? So, yeah.
And he also did mention that, you know, Jaylen's, like, super intelligent and he's confident he'll figure it out. I read the quote, so.
Exactly.
Oh, Abrinas just missed.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Give Russ some credit. He trusted his teammate.
Yep. And that's what happens when he trusts his teammates. See that?
He could took a crazy shot. No, they got a great shot. He just missed it. And you take that, right?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, look at this. Russ could have tried something crazy there.
They didn't need to go for a three, though. They could have gone for a two to tie it up, but whatever. Anyway.
Not bad with a Russell Westbrook 15-foot pull-up right there on bounce because he had plenty of space just to get into his shooting pocket and get his shot off. That would have been cool if he had done that. But at the same time, he trusted his teammate.
Yeah. I mean, this is exactly what we all criticize him for not doing. So
we can't criticize him for it. Nope, that was actually
good for him. He did. I think he made the right move. I think he did the right thing. Okay.
Russ wasn't even playing bad. He was 8-for-16 on the night, but he was still 2-for-7 from three. He got to stop the threes, man. Jesus.
Yeah. Okay, at OKC Topic Thunder asks, we have a question. How are you going to just take Snotty back knowing he stepped on you like that?
So I know you haven't listened to the podcast I did with them because they asked me.
I have
me.
Not. But did you mention me? All I need to know is did you bring me up?
You asked him a question. You asked a question about how could I dip out on the pod or something? How could I cheat on you? Like,
yeah.
So yeah, they asked, and I told him, hey, you know what? I love Joe, man. I try to be faithful to Dunktown, but sometimes I want something on the side, man. Something different.
You know? Need a little step out.
So you guys invited me over. So, you know, I just told Joe I was going to work and I'd start doing another podcast for the night, you know. It's cool.
I was like, okay, come home safe, honey.
Yes, I shouted out the Superflight. I shouted out the Dunktails. I shouted out your punk ass.
Thank you. Hey, I retweeted it for you. I retweeted it.
Let me see what else. We got some more questions.
We got some more questions. What are the ones you said 2 weeks ago when we did the last podcast that we were going to start with these first? And I forget who it was.
Oh, okay. All right, give me a second.
Find that quick.
Start. Keep. You got to. Right. You got to vamp.
I'm still looking for the tweets. So.
You're supposed to be vamping right now.
What's that?
You're supposed to be vamping. You got to talk and like run the interference.
Okay. I can't talk and think at the same time. Here we go. All right. So I'm talking. So So James, how are you? Oh, no, this is terrible. I'm gonna have to cut this shit out. Fuck! I can't find it.
You're doing a terrible job.
It's fine. I'll cut it out.
Leave it in there. Let people see how much you suck when you're supposed to be vamping.
Sorry, I just had nothing in mind. All right, you find it. I'll keep talking. I wanted to talk about Denver, too. They had a...
What's our new thing here? This is a hot take I found from November 21st when the Celtics were playing well. He said, this guy named, his name is @Chris_Betha215. Plot twist. This is a tweet. Plot twist. The Celtics don't make the playoffs. Eye emojis. So that guy's wrong because they're, you know, playing well again.
All right, here we go. @GucciMatt, @TheMattReed. What can the Orlando Magic do to upgrade their team without giving up guys like Simmons, Isaac, Bamba, Gordon, etc.? So we just answered this. They can get John Wall. But
honestly, all right, so Simmons can go. Simmons can go. That's not the end of the world. No. Because he's on a – I think he only has 1 year left, and he's a role player. Yeah. So that'd be fine.
Isaac, Bamba, and Gordon, though, you definitely want to try and keep. What can they do to upgrade their team, though?
Sign Terry Rozier next year.
All right.
I like Terry Rozier, and I think they would be good.
They do need a real point guard, don't they?
They just need a real point guard. Because DJ Augustine's fine. He's a backup point guard. You know, Terry would be good there.
Why do you sound so blown out right now? It sounds like you're screaming into your mic.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Did it just start right now?
Yeah.
Here. No, I'm just doing the exact same thing I was doing before.
Weird. All right. How about @Abdul_260? What's up with the Westbrook?
Am I still blown out right now?
Yeah. Just talk a little bit softer. What's up with the Westbrook and Thunder hate in general?
I think a large part of that is just the fact that they're a small market team. Westbrook is everything that the analytics crowd hates. And right now we know that the analytics crowd is kind of like driving the NBA discussions and everything they do. So, yeah, that's all it is. And, you know, it's cool kind of to hate on OKC since, you know, Kevin Durant left and he had the burners. He was talking crap about them. Paul George, you know, he didn't play very well last year in the playoffs and he re-signed with them. So he's being clowned. So, yeah, it's just one of those things, man.
I think in general, when you have a guy who's that big of a focal point on your team, when he demands that much, when he takes up that much air and takes up that much space, he's an easy target. Look at LeBron. LeBron is always hated on by certain people. Like he's the dominant scorer. He's the dominant guy. Well, he's the dominant guy in the entire league right now. But yeah, I mean, the reason the hate on Westbrook is because he does things that are maddening at times. He's great when he takes over the game and he wins, but when he takes over the game and he doesn't, and he makes like a bonehead, a 3-point shot that just has no hope of going in, it's easy to hate on him. You're right. They're a small market team. I don't think that has anything to do with why people hate on OKC. I don't know that people actually hate on OKC, to be honest with you. I just know like the Westbrook hate. And he, you know, I'm speaking from personal experience too. Sometimes Westbrook drives me crazy as well. But like we just saw in this game that we just watched, he did the right thing at the end of the game and they lost. So I don't know. It's like a two-edged sword with him.
It's also a lot of backlash from them taking the team from Seattle. There's still people who are, you know, they'll always kind of not like them for that.
Yeah, that's probably fair too. There's probably a lot of that in there. I don't know. You got any other? Like I said, we didn't get a whole lot of them this week. Probably because every time we say we're going to do a podcast, we somehow don't do the podcast.
Because I listen to jerks. No, just joking, guys. You didn't give your take on the Kyrie Jalen comment.
I don't know. It's fine. I think you're right. I think it's Kyrie's job to do that. It's Kyrie's job to be the leader and speak out. And if he gets him motivated, then so be it. I don't know if there's any. It does seem like it's a little tone deaf in a weird way that like it could come off as being exactly what he left LeBron for doing. But I don't really think he was big brothering him. I think he was just giving him some constructive criticism, and also he was being positive about it too, saying, you know, he's smart, he'll figure it out. I think at some point in any team dynamic, you're going to end up having to take these roles regardless of whether you want to or not. Like, it's going to happen. Like, you know, interpersonal dynamics, they have a way of creeping up on you and getting you into funny situations. It's no different with a sports team. So at some point roles are reversed. At some point things feel different than other times. And like, you know, you have to take on a different role. And if it's part of growing that team, I don't think he did anything like inflammatory. I don't think it was out of bounds. I think you're right. I think he just said what he needed to say, or felt like he needed to say. Maybe he's a little tone deaf in that it sort of seems that that's what LeBron did to him, but I think it's fine. I don't think there's anything really to worry about. And, you know, as we see, they're clicking again. They've won 7 in a row. God damn it.
also, our guy @_Fernandula also today said that if Kevin Durant gets a statue in Golden State, then Eldon Campbell should get one in Detroit, because like Eldon Campbell, he wasn't really needed, but like he stepped up big in the finals and that's cool, but he wasn't really necessary. So.
Yeah. I don't think there's any way Kevin Durant should get a statue. I just don't.
That's crazy. If they win again this year, he definitely deserves one.
Sure. If they want to put all five of the all of the guys in one statue.
That's what he's saying.
He's saying they each get their own, right?
Well, that's fine too. He's just saying all five of us would be like remembered forever and we deserve statues out in front. But I agree.
All right, fair enough. I mean, it would be cool to get them all in one statue, sure. But not each get their own statue, because his would have to be last. I don't know.
It's a semantic thing. So you put them all in one stand, or you have five different stands. It doesn't matter. The point is they're all...
Half of the shit we talk about is semantics. Anyway.
You're the worst.
I am the absolute worst. James, do you have anything else to talk about? I think we're way over an hour.
Oh yeah, we're done. I got to speak very softly. I don't want to blow out the microphone.
Yeah,
sorry.
Blow the mic. All right, man. Why don't you tell everybody where to find you and me?
So you can find me on Twitter @StoneyDrippin. Same with Joe Borelli. I also now will be writing for lineups.com. That's my new spot. Thank you. And I still am with Real Ball Insider. So keep an eye out. I got some stuff coming down the pipeline.
Very nice. Very nice. Cool. I guess we'll see you next week.
All right, let's talk softly on the way out.
All right, goodbye.
Okay, everyone, enjoy your NBA team.
See you guys. Have fun till next week. Goodbye.
Get some strength on the side.
All right, peace.
All right, man.